on multicultural marketing. Can you hear me at the back, Carol? Okay, that's great. I've quite a few slides here, and I'd like to acknowledge the contribution of MapInfo, CompuSearch, and Equifax, quite a few groups all together. But those are, I have a number of slides that date back a few years ago where we worked together and create some profiles on ethnic marketing. And I'm using some of those slides for making the presentations. I have half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on the kind of question that you ask, I guess. Okay, feel free to ask me any questions. I'm drinking this orange juice, and you know the name brand? Tropicana. Have you heard about that? No, never heard of that. Huh? That's great, you drink it every day. Tropicana have orange juice and a number of fruit juice. It's marketable at the at different areas. And you can buy in different grocery stores. Tropicana, quite a number of years ago, have absolutely no interest doing multicultural marketing. However, currently, right now, this is the number one drink in the Chinese community. Number one. A number of years ago, when they start doing market research, they want to target groups that they're high income, higher than average. They like to target populations that have more education than average. They also want to target people with large family size. They did a lot of research in Canada, and they find out that that's a good group to target in marketing orange juice. And you notice that 7-8 years ago, when you look for Tropicana, you can hardly find any samples. You have to look at the bottom of the shell and you find it. Right now, on the eye level, you can actually see Tropicana occupying two shelves on fruit juice. In other words, they are doing really well. And it's one of the success stories for Canadian products. Now, in the process of doing market research, they find out that for the populations with large family size, people with higher education and high income, it fits in pretty well with Chinese communities. They say, maybe we should target the Chinese community for marketing. Maybe that's a good way to do some solid work there. And they did. They hire a marketing agency in Vancouver and do a series of marketing campaign and market Chinese community. And they're doing really well. Okay. Have you ever tried Tropicana yet? Not yet? Try it. Yeah? You did it good? Is it good? They're good oranges. I have no commission out of this talk. Absolutely no commission. Have you heard of Mr. Gouda's? Mr. Gouda's? Okay, great. Huge bag of rice. I think they bring you a sample bag of rice here. But no, they have spice. They have actually 592 products, Mr. Gouda's. G-O-U-D-A-S. Look at any grocery store, they should have it. And Mr. Gouda's have basically 592 products from all over the world. And they have Brazilian bad beans. They have Chinese lychee. They have English rice puddings. They have, what do they have? Oh, geez, they have Jamaican ginger beers. Oh, they have so many of these products. And everyone from those ethnic groups having those products, think they're authentic. They're great. Now, people from Trinidad think that he's Mr. Gouda's. Peter Gouda's is a Trinidadian. The Chinese think that he's Chinese. And the Indians think that, he's Indian. How come he's so great? He did wonderful marketing research work. He's great. Now, this guy was actually a Greek immigrant. Came in Canada in 1967, started with nothing. He actually slept on the street. And not only that, he cleaned cars in the beginning to make a living. And later he got a packaging firm and then things turned around the corner a little bit. And this is a really good story because he did a lot of observations and how people buy products and use the products, and we'll make sure that people are happy with the product. One of the things that he says is that I like to make people happy. He likes to make people happy, and that's one way to do it. Make sure that the food products that he sell or distribute meet the needs of the customers. He had to wrap about 20 different kind of rice, 20, one for Filipino, one for Indians, one for Vietnamese, one for Chinese, etc. Different kind. He amazed so many kind of rice he got, eh? But amazing also that different ethnic groups have different preference for rice. Okay, I'll give you these two examples just to illustrate that if you have done your market research work, you can enter into the multicultural market pretty easily with great success. And what I want to do is give you a few examples. Can you read a few here? Or that's pretty focused here. Give you some example of company doing some multicultural marketing in different industry. In real estate, we know about it. Finance and insurance, communication, transportation, manufacturing, wholesale, retail, etc. Let me give you some example of the company that do multicultural marketing in one way or another. And obviously, they see the need. They all see the profit in it. If you ask any banks, and I'm sure there are a number of banks here, the CIBC, Bank of Montreal, etc., they've done multicultural marketing. You get some good mileage out of knowing your customer well. And there are a few more examples in the business service industry, accommodation, and other services. Why do you think multicultural marketing makes sense? Well, if you know the answer, you probably will not come over here, right? You want to know what I want to say. Why? It makes sense because it's profitable. I'll give you some example of how some company make money out of multicultural market. It's large. It's growing. It's concentrated in certain areas. And the people in different communities have high purchasing power. Okay, if you're a business person, you're obviously interested in these factors, that you have to make money out of the process, it has to be a large market enough you can capture it, it has to be keep on growing because you can gain market shares, you want it to concentrate because you need to do good marketing, and high purchasing power, meaning that people have money to buy your goods and services. So these are five reasons why multicultural marketing makes sense. Now, in light of time, let me rush for a few data here, statistic here. Canada went through quite a bit of a demographic shift in the last 30 years or so. If you look at the ethnic components of the populations, and I'm using some of the data here, 1996. If you look at the second column here in Canada, you'll notice that the distribution of the British groups, the French group, and other ethnic groups are right there. And in total, around about 28 million people at that time, 5 years ago. 5 years ago. And the proportion is that the English is still 53%. There and the other ethnic group constitutes 26% of the population. In other words, back in 1996, the other ethnic groups, or what the sociologists call the third ethnic force, constitutes 26%, which is one out of every four of them are other ethnic groups. Obviously, if you look at 2001 data and expect to see that the other ethnic group will be high in numbers and in percentage. If you look at Toronto CMA, the census metropolitan areas, you'll also notice that there's the pattern in which we see that the great concentration of British, but a smaller number for the French. But you see a much higher number for the other ethnic groups. One out of every two people you meet in the street of the other ethnic groups. Now, this is a really dramatic change. In the last 30 or 40 years. And here I got some of this from the 1996 census prepared by the Computational Agriculture. You will see that if you look at the Vancouver and Toronto, the distribution of ethnic groups are a little bit different too. The high percentage of the Chinese, Italian, Portuguese, and South Asians. And when you add the Vancouver percentage together, it comes to 27%. And when you look at Toronto CMA, it comes to 31%. Just out of these four ethnic groups. Obviously, there's subgroup within South Asians, which consists of the East Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, and Sri Lankans. But that is a big percentage, a big proportion. Just look at those four groups here. As I mentioned, the change of the immigration pattern, you see here that that comparing the data with 1992 with 65, just some 30 years different. If you look at the immigration pattern, back in 1965, three out of every four, meaning 75% of the immigrants are from European countries, and only 17% from the so-called third world country, Asia, Caribbean, South and Central America. But in 1992, the ethnic pattern reversed, where the majority of the immigrants came from the Asia, Caribbean, and South and Central America, where from Europe only constitute 18%. So we see the reverse in the pattern. Now this reverse in terms of the composition of immigrants gradually have impact on the entire composition of the Canadian populations. And you can see that at the change in a lot of urban areas. When you think about the immigrants coming in, there are a lot of them coming in. So last year, the record showed around 250,000 immigrants landed in Canada. That means if you divide it by 365 days a year and 24 hours a day, you work out around 28 people, newcomer, coming to Canada every hour. Now, if you're doing business, think about how to capture that 26 people be part of your consumer, part of your customer. You know, see how much money you make every single hour. Isn't it? We can all dream, right? We can all dream. But that tells us something, that the market actually growing and constantly growing every hour. And this will give you some idea about the proportion of immigrants in different ethnic groups. While in Canada, 19% of all people are immigrants, but among different ethnic groups, you'll notice black, among black people, or the African Canadians, 77% of them are immigrants. And Chinese 81%, Japanese 23%, South Asian 85%, et cetera, et cetera. The thing you notice is that for those people from Asia, Africa, South and Latin Americans, those are people with high percentages of immigrants populations. Like Southeast Asian, 94%, almost like 9 out of every 10 of them you see in the street are immigrants' background. Now, this kind of statistic is very important when it comes to multicultural marketing, because when immigrants come, they carry with them a whole historical cultural baggage that you don't have if you're born here. Now, obviously, this immigrant would be, if they live here long enough, they gradually pick up a number of mainstream culture, but for those newcomers, it takes time for them to pick it up. So in order to market them, you'll start thinking about the proportion of immigrants within ethnic groups, and see whether they're large enough for you to capture the market using different multicultural strategy, tactics, and tools. As I mentioned to you, that the changing nature of immigrants occurred in the last 30 years, most of them are from the third world countries. And you notice that a lot of them also racial minority or visible minority. In Canada, 11% of the populations are visible minority, but in some urban centers, such as Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal, they're much higher in percentages. And in some areas, there are much higher concentrations. You see that for example, if you break down the Toronto CMA in different, I don't know what they call now, but you used to call municipalities, Scarborough, you have 51% racial minorities, Markham 46%, North York 40%, York 35%, Mississauga 34%, Richmond Hill 33%, and East York 31%. Now this is high concentration of racial minorities, and you will see from the previous slides that most of the racial minority are of the immigrants' background. Now you start to connect those things together when you start thinking about multicultural marketing and also the concentration of racial groups within certain geographical areas. And the stat basis show that increasingly we see more and more racial minority in Canada in a certain proportion. So in addition to the fact that the multicultural group or the third ethnic group is quite high in terms of proportion in the Canadian population and is growing because of the immigration pattern, you also see that there are great concentration based on historical process as well as the new process, meaning that they tend to go to places where the previous immigrants are. Just to give you a few examples, in different provinces, there are different higher concentration of different ethnic groups. Italians are generally find in Ontario and Quebec. Not that you don't find in other provinces, we do, but the concentration seems to be in those two provinces. Ukrainian, the Paris provinces, Dutch Maritime provinces, Chinese, British Columbia, and Ontario. Now, give you some sense about the landing process and the internal migration after they come over here. They all cluster in certain provinces, and later you'll notice that it cluster in certain urban settings. Here's a few maps also produced by the Computer Research Group. Here's a distribution of black people based on 1996 data in Toronto using the EA. You see that the spread of the population in some area, in some neighborhood area, you see a lot more black people than others. But in general, you see pretty well spread out. But there are certain corridors of concentration. The darker the color means the higher the concentration. And here's another one to tell you about the Chinese, where you will see concentration in Scarborough and in the Markham area and a few in the downtown areas. Not that there's no Chinese in other areas, there are, but they're not as concentrated in those areas. Here's another map using Italian. Probably the most fascinating one, the one who traced the migration of Italian moving from the Austinton College area all the way through to Sinclair and Dufferin up all the way to Woodbridge now. Okay, now that tell you about the migration pattern. But at the same time, you see the concentration of Italian in Toronto. Now, the concentration of ethnic groups in Toronto and other urban areas obviously pose, in my opinion, some advantages for people in the direct marketing. People want to give out flyers, you know, you got those flyers like pizza flyers, you got KFC flyers. Those are flyers that concentrate in certain areas. And I noticed that in some areas they have special language flyers that tailor to certain ethnic groups. So obviously some people take a note of multicultural groups and start not only asking questions, but finding a solution, finding a way to reach out to those people. So what you see by now is that it is, as I said, large groups, concentrated, growing, and some businesses find it profitable to use them as target groups. Here's the things that give us some another factor why we do multicultural marketing, and here's the purchasing power or the expenditure of different ethnic groups. This is something that Tony and colleagues from MapInfo, right, and I work together, and basically what we notice is that using a combination of data set, We noticed the total expenditure in Toronto, the Chinese are $7 billion, Italians $6.8 billion, Portuguese $2.5 billion, and South Asians $5.3 billion. So on average, you see that per person, they work out about $22,000 for Chinese, $22,000 for Italian, etc. At the bottom here, you see the Toronto CMA total, which is $96 billion. Now, just think about add those numbers together, add all these numbers together of these four ethnic groups. They constitute around about 22% of the entire total CMA expenditure. And we're talking only four groups here. You'll see that the impact of multicultural purchasing power on the entire Toronto economy. Here you give an indicator of that, how that works. We do have a few more minutes. Let me use some this one to explain to how it works. Companies should spend some time going through some of the data set and then look at the consumption expenditures. And this basic slide shows how that works. If we look at the A column and the B columns, look at A columns, they tell you about ethnic dollar spend using Italian examples. You notice that for the food items, $829 million. When you add all those ethnic dollars together under Italian, that comes with a total sum of money. And then based on that sum, we work out a percentage of the money they spend for what item, what consumer item. For food, we find out that 11.63% of the total expenditure go to food, and for shelter, 17.54% go to the shelter, etc., etc. Then we look at the base dollar, which is the Toronto CMA expenditure dollar. If we add it all together and find out that of the total, if we look at the D column, almost like on average, people spend 11.43% of money in food items, and 17.98% for the shelter. We're looking at D columns. Then we can look at comparing the D column with the B column, the B and the D columns, and you notice that just for the food items, under the B column for Italian, 11.63%, versus the D column, still under food, 11.43%. Then you work out index, meaning the Italians, the index for food item 102, using Toronto base as 100. Yes.
Does C include A?
Does C include A? It does include A, yeah. Because C is a combination of all ethnic groups together combined. And they give you basically a base for calculating on an average. And this is using Toronto base. So if you look at the index part, you'll see that the Italian index for food is 102, which is 2 unit points above 100. And for the household furnishing and equipment, 95, which is 5% below the 100. Let's work out the index part of it. Here's the few people, especially the banks and insurance company, may be interested in the mortgage interest by ethnic groups. Using the same method, you work out the total expenditure of South Asian, Chinese, Italian, Portuguese, regarding the percentage or the amount of money they spend in mortgage during that year 1999, using Toronto as a base. You notice that South Asians, spend $35.8 million on mortgage interest. Chinese $1 billion, Italian $960 million, etc. Over the last column, give you the percentages. But you know, for any banks, I mean, obviously they're interested in getting part of that money as the expenditure on mortgage interest. they were interested in finding out how to get hold of those money and get people to come in and I guess do business with the bank. Now there's also the index I talked about, and that using the same example, the mortgage interest, you notice that there's a difference between the Toronto index and the Vancouver index. We're still talking about mortgage interest. We're still comparing South Asians, Chinese, Italian, Portuguese. Right now, we're just basically comparing the Toronto and Vancouver. The last row, which is all city, meaning that's the baseline, that's the benchmark for comparison in terms of Toronto. In Toronto is 111, while the national index at the bottom is 100. So you see that in Toronto, the Chinese and the Italians are a little bit above the all-city index because their index is 117, 113, which is about 111. In Vancouver, the all-city base is 113. And if you look at all of those ethnic groups, the only group that's above the index, the base index, is the South Asians, 119. So by looking at those kind of ethnic expenditure and compare different city, you get a good sense about where you direct your resources in terms of capturing some of their money, I guess. Okay. You know what I should do is maybe a few more slides. This is the thing that I presented in a computer user conference before, and this is using some of the consumer item goods. And here is a comparison of the indices of the four ethnic groups using Toronto as a base for 1999. Look at the bottom part. The base is Toronto 100, Toronto average. They're using 100 as a baseline. Then all the indexes on the table illustrate what the extent to which the ethnic groups spend a bit more money, proportionally speaking, than other consumer items within its own ethnic groups. Look at Chinese. The package travel tours 130, which is above the 100 Toronto average baseline. Electric hairstyle equipment, etc. And if you go through that, then you'll notice that for the beer bought at store, which is 80, is below the Toronto average baseline. The Chinese obviously don't buy beer that much in the store. The Italians, you look at indexes, you notice that once again, there are quite a few high index consumer items, especially in the household movers and storage, 351, and also you see the clothing storage one, which is well above the Toronto average. At the same time, when you compare across ethnic group, you notice that it appears that the Italian have higher priority in terms of storing the clothing and moving things. Portuguese, you see also the moving and storage. South Asians, you notice the numbers high in terms of electrical hairstyle equipment. I mean, you look at all those items, you get a good sense about, in terms of, in my opinion, it's a proxy of ethnic priority in consumption item. It's a proxy only, but it gives you some sense about where they like to spend the money. And I think that maybe this is my last one. Then open up for discussions. Here's the food items. And Tony, if you have any insight regarding the food item, feel free to jump in anytime you want. The rice, you want to talk about rice? Okay. You got rice over there? The rice over there, bottom from the third from the bottom. Chinese, the index 150, while the Toronto index is 100 at the bottom, you see that. 150, way above other ethnic group in terms of usage or the purchasing of rice, more than Italian, more than Portuguese, and more than South Asians. Well, chicken, believe it or not, is below when you compare other ethnic groups. We often Chinese like chicken, but obviously compared to other people, it is not quite so. Cooking oil, salad, you know, olive oil, I guess, food processing, etc. You see the different patterns and priority there. Give you some sense, as I said, in terms of the ethnic proportions. So what I illustrate so far is that if you look at some of the data, you see that the market, the multicultural market, is growing historically, especially in the last 30 years. It is growing because of immigration policy and the immigration pattern we have. It's concentrated in certain areas, and it's good for direct marketing. It's a high purchasing power in certain areas, and you see some of the preferences. And some companies have used multicultural marketing as a way to market. And obviously, they're still doing business, they're doing well, and you can talk with any company that has done that. I guess this gives you an insight in terms of the multicultural marketing and how that relate to statistical data. And the example used in Tropicana and Mr. Gouda's tell us basically, if you've done your market research well and know the statistical data, the demographic change, what age group, educational levels, household income, etc., you got a much more mileage out of the research at the same time in terms of your marketing strategies. So maybe I should stop here. And obviously, I still have a few minutes. If people want to entertain me by asking questions, that would be great. Do you have any questions? You want to ask questions? Or I don't know whether you want to ask questions or not. Yeah. Well, Tony, Rachel, you should answer that question, since you're the architect behind that. Tony Lee from the Map Info for people who don't know. You got an answer? Someone here asked a question? In a given data set, database, how do you compare the two or how to integrate the two? Well, integrating two separate data with different assumption methodology and cohorts and different groups obviously has some methodological issues, and obviously we have to be aware of that. But sometimes if you cannot integrate well, I mean, one can I guess estimate and use different proxy to work out whether indeed one can get the right answer. But when you come to integrate database, there are quite a number of methodological issues, in my opinion. How do they do it? what type of tools they do it. They use the print media. They use shopping malls. As I recall, they also use TV to target the Chinese communities. They do community sponsorship, so the Tropicana names out in the front and center of the Chinese community. What else? I asked them the question. The marketing manager there, you know, it's about time we change the name to Chinese so that people can remember Tropicana. You know, that's not easy. Oh no, we're not changing the name. So they keep the name without changing it. Obviously, in marketing, sometimes you don't need to change your name into different ethnic sounding things, you know. So you may wish to call them up and see, pick the brain a little bit and see whether you get some hints on how to market them. Yeah. Any questions there? No more questions? More done?
Thank you very much.